Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 12 through 16, titled, Redeeming the Time Because the Days Are Evil. If you'd like to send comments, questions, or prayer requests, you can send those to our email address, bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send your letter to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 211, West Jefferson, Ohio, 43162. Now we begin our study of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 12 through 16, titled, Redeeming the Time, Because the Days Are Evil. This is part 1, 2.
Ephesians 5, it is verse 12. We'll start in verse 12. Redeeming the time because the days are evil is what we're going to title this study. And we'll open with a word of prayer. If you join me, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. And we just thank you for being able to relax among friends. Enjoy the sweet spirit, the Holy Spirit in each believer, the tie that binds, makes us family. And Lord, we just ask that you help us as we study. Lord, that we'd be serious about the study, but understanding that there's nothing wrong with having a good time. And we pray you bless our time even after the service, and we continue in fellowship with one another, which is an act of worship, a fellowship that is based on the work of Jesus Christ in each of us. And so we ask these things as we continue our study in this epistle of Ephesians. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And before we read there, I want Brother Dre, you back there somewhere? There he is. Brother Dre is going to give everybody. Now, like families, couples can share a copy, but this is a video, DVD, that we did, and we actually, it's been online. About 100,000 people have seen this. It's 1 hour long. Go ahead and start passing those out. And it's called Billy Graham, Forerunner of Antichrist. Now, I didn't say he was the Antichrist, and I didn't say if you were saved at a Billy Graham crusade, guess what? You're saved. Amen? Doug can give you a testimony, and others in here might be able to. I've met a number of people saved. What we're talking about is, and what we document in this, is that he had an agenda in his ministry, and when you look around at how the church is today, dying, you got to know where. It didn't just happen on accident. It was by design. And Billy Graham's crusades was, he preached the gospel. People got saved, but then they sent them to liberal and Catholic churches. And people didn't know that, but it was going on. The other thing we want to set forth in this DVD is, it didn't just happen in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. It started from the very beginning. And it's amazing when you see this. We document it from his own writings, his own interviews, and documented facts from other sources we give you everywhere. If you don't think we're telling the truth about it, you can test us. We urge you to. Acts 17:11. Try everything. Test everything by the Word of God and by the facts itself when it's not about Bible per se. But our point isn't even to slander Billy Graham. It's to wake everybody up to the fact that his ministry was wrong in doing that, and we need to expose it and then right the ship. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to give credit where it's due. He's got a son named Franklin. And Franklin is still a little ecumenical at times, but Franklin speaks the truth when it comes to the gospel, and he tells the truth that the Roman gospel is not the biblical gospel.
Amen.
That's why he's not as popular as Billy.
Right.
And I highly support what Franklin Graham is doing, and his Samaritan Purse ministry and his crusades. There are things about it I don't approve of, because you know what? I'm not the judge for those things. Our church, our local ministry, we try to do things the way we think it's right. I don't spend a lot of time nitpicking other preachers and everything they do. The only thing I will do, though, is what the Bible says to do, and that's when they preach a false gospel, and we've talked about them, or they lead people into the ditch as blind guides, and that's where Billy falls in. And so that's why we hand those out. That's online, though. You can see it if you're watching online or listening on the radio or whatever, however you're hearing this message. You can watch it online. Sermon audio. It's on YouTube, other places. All right, let's go ahead and get into the text this morning, beginning in verse 12. Read that with me. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now we begin with a verse that many people warp into an error, actually, when we start. It says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And what this does not mean is that we do not expose or rebuke wickedness. And that's where some people have taken this verse and they've ignored all the other verses that tell us to expose the works of darkness and to reprove them and to warn others. And they'll say, well, it says it's a shame to even speak of those things, you know, and so they don't want you to do that. And that's not what it's telling us. But we can expose wickedness without delving into the darkness and the dirty details. You see, usually they say the devil is in the extremes. You ever heard that? The devil is in the extremes. The one extreme is, oh, you should never say anything that's not nice. That's Disney. That's not Bible. Go read Matthew 23. Jesus said plenty of things that weren't nice when he needed to say those things. But what the other extreme is, and I see a lot of guys out there doing it, especially in these YouTube ministries, you know, and everything. They just swim through the muck and the mire, and all they do is spend all their time talking about this stuff. And there's a middle ground, and that is, you know what? You need to stay away from this. They do this, this, and this. And that's it. You don't have to go into the dirty details of it all. Years ago, there was a minister, and I'm not going to name his name, and I don't know where he is at now, actually, but he really got into exposing the dangers of pornography. And it wasn't too long before I heard that he had been destroyed, basically, by pornography. The reason is because God never called anybody into the ministry of being anti-pornography. God called us into the ministry of preaching the Word. And so, yes, of course, we speak out against pornography. But if you spend all your time trying to refute and expose pornography, this guy was, you know, reading it and looking at it, and then he put things that he could out on the internet and everything, and it became his ministry. Well, there's no such thing. It's just not... it's not a legit biblical ministry, but pastors do have to preach against it. Amen. See the difference? Amen. So there's some pastors who never say anything about it. They're wrong. There's other pastors who get into the muck and mire, and they're wrong. The same thing's true with rock music. There's a guy that I know who got really into exposing rock music, but he made it his ministry. That's all he ever did. And the next thing you know, he's gone, just off the deep end. And, well, when you don't do things God's way, you're going to be in trouble. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You understand that? We need to do things God's way. Johnny? So, that's what we want to emphasize. We just saw this very same thing in the same chapter in a previous study. Back in verse 11, it says, And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And what? But... See? So how are you going to not speak of them at all and reprove them? You can't. You've got to speak about those things. But you don't go into the details of, you know, those things they do in secret. I believe is talking about those things that are so wicked that even they want it to be kept in the dark, you know. And so, this homo thing, you know, it's like a resurgence of homosexuality. And there is a need for people to understand that that's a terrible lifestyle. It's not, everybody says, oh, they're no different from the heterosexuals. Yes, they are. They're different. And even they're even more different than the whores and the prostitutes in heterosexual world. It's different. And I've tried to explain that to people without delving into the dirty details, and that takes some work because it's a filthy lifestyle. And so now we live in an age where everybody's told, oh, you're a hater. No, you have nothing intelligent to say when you respond to me saying I'm a hater. 16 through 32. But as far as the acts themselves, the Bible says that those are vile. And it doesn't go into detail what they do. It doesn't describe all the acts in detail. But what they do is vile. And so you can either choose to be a part of the modern society and say, there's nothing wrong with that, it's just love. Or you can think like God and say, you know what, it's vile. I didn't say anything about hating anybody. That's just the facts. You know, if there are people who do things that, you know, I can't remember what it's called, but there's a group or type of person with a certain deficiency where they find themselves, they just kind of realize they're eating detergent. You ever heard of that?
No.
Yeah.
Pica.
Now, is it called Pica? Okay. Now, if you ever see me eating detergent, I'd like for you to tell me that I shouldn't be doing that. Okay? I'm eating detergent. There's something wrong. And if I'm not even, it's not even clicking, I'm like, that tastes like chocolate, you know? Or black licorice, amen?
Amen.
Greg, that's detergent. That's not good for you. You know? Thanks for telling me that. Or, so, and I keep eating it, well, at least you warned me, amen? And that's the way it is with sin. And same-sex sexuality is a sin. And so if you love people, you tell them, you know what, that's a sin. And it's a terrible lifestyle. It's going to kill you, etc. And that's reproving.
Amen.
That's how you reprove those things. And what you don't need to do is to go into the dirty details. So let's not miss the point of the verse that we read. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Not to reprove the fact they do them, but don't get into the dirty details. The emphasis is on the shame of those things done. That's the emphasis. See verse 3. We read this in the same chapter earlier. Verse 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, and like Doug said, notice how those kind of go together? Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now, if we're not supposed to ever talk about these things, Paul just sinned right in the Bible. Because he did expose those works. What he doesn't do is talk about the dirty details of what that means. Because enough said. And that's a kind of a smart aleck remark on social media. Everybody gets done and like, enough said. You know. But really, that is enough said. Amen? Now, here's a little reality check. What we know is bad enough. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I remember when I first found out what a homosexual was, I think I was about 15 years old. I lived in Southern Ohio, a small town. Didn't even know such a thing existed. Why? Because it's perverse. It's not natural. And so I was 15 years old, and I'm like, Gomer Pyle does what? And they're like, that's, you're lying. That's not real. That's not true. That was well timed. But what traumatized me wasn't the fact that the person who told me that didn't just leave it alone with they have sex with other men. They described it a little bit, and I was like, 15 years old, and I'm going, Mommy! You know. So what we know is bad enough. What God sees in secret is beyond our comprehension. I was reading a historical description of the Stonewall riots. And even in that, they weren't trying to be nasty or anything, but just in describing that filthy group of people at Stonewall Bar in New York that rioted, and started now what they call the Stonewall Union. That's where it all was giving birth. And the disgusting group sex, same-sex stuff going on. I was like, I just wanted to know the basics of the history. I don't want to read on that, you know. And that was when I'm 45 years old and I was reading it. So, you know, God sees it all. You know, we look at God allowing man to suffer. And it's because we're ignorant. Amen. We do not know what God is seeing always, constantly. Some of it, all humanity, except for a tiny group of really filthy people, would agree is terrible. You see this thing going on with the sex trade, slave sex, or whatever we'll call it. There are girls, well, boys, girls, all ages, being kidnapped and forced into this sex trade. And it's hard to read anything on that without seeing details you don't need to see. It's a horrible thing, folks. The thing to do isn't to just, you know, check out. And I've seen people do that. And they're just happy. I didn't hear that. That's not actually happening. All human beings are good in their nature. All people are inherently good. I don't want to hear this. No. The Bible says man is wicked. Every person in this room, you look around and then look in the mirror, you're looking at a wicked person. You're not going to heaven because you're good.
Amen.
You're wicked, and God's saving you in spite of yourself. Amen. The only one good. You remember when that kid walked up to God and, you know, called him good. Walked up to Jesus and he called him good teacher. But he wasn't. Jesus knew his heart. Jesus knew he wasn't looking at him as his God, his Lord incarnate. And so Jesus looks at him and says, "Why you call me good? Only one is good, and that's God."
That's right.
Amen.
Every human being is bad.
Amen.
And see, that's why Christianity has lost its power, because almost all the preachers start wrong.
Right.
They start by telling you how wonderful you are. No, you're not.
Amen.
You were born with a sin nature. You know, everything you do, you need to stop and think about whether or not that's your sin nature causing you to do it. And whether this is something God has motivated you to do and something that you are doing to bring glory and honor to God. You know that? I, you know, have done that with a number of things. And that's why you've seen, if you know me, like my wife now, for more than a decade, 12 years, she's seen how some things have tweaked and changed over the years. And if she had known me when I first got saved, she'd seen a whole lot of change. Tracy was talking about how little we watched TV. Back in the early 90s, I mean, the TV hardly went off.
Yeah.
And we were careful. And it still got so cruddy that we was like, we shouldn't leave this TV on all the time. Then even our favorite shows got so cruddy. We're like, maybe we don't even need TV.
Amen.
Well, I don't preach it's a sin to have a TV, because there is a way to use TV for God's glory.
Amen.
If you're careful about what you watch, you limit what you watch. And Jenny and I, you know, we spend, Mariah will tell you, growing up, I'd walk in and I'd say, "Hey, kids, you want to watch a movie with Dad?" And they'd all go, "Is it a movie or a documentary?" Because I was always watching documentaries. And then when I would say it's actually a movie, they would always say, "Is it one of those cheesy Christian movies? Or is it a real movie?" And I'm like, "No, you won't believe this. This is a Christian movie and it's actually good." They were skeptics. And every once in a while, we'd watch a movie and they'd be like, "That wasn't bad." Every once in a while. So, You have to be careful about all these things. You have to be, we're not getting legalistic, but you have to be careful and not allow all that stuff in your mind, because there's one difference between you and God. God sees all this, but he can handle it. If you get overloaded with this stuff, even with good intentions, it can bring you down.
Amen.
You've got to control your diet. It's like Jenny and I are controlling what we eat as best we can. Once in a while, we'll go a little overboard, but most of the time, we're controlling what we eat. Why? Because that's everything that you put in your body. You've got to take control of it. You've got to control it. And that includes what goes in your eyeballs, what goes in your earballs. Amen? And our only recourse is to overthrow the government, institute censorship. No, that's not our recourse. I know you like the sound of that, Jenny, but that's not. Our only recourse is to be a what?
Light.
A light. Read that. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the what? Light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. That's, Gloria says, amen. Think about that. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Of course, the scripture works as a huge light. But then you take the scripture in, and not just when you're quoting it verbatim, but when you're obeying it. You're a light. If you won't reprove, then you can't be light. Did you get that? Look at this again. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. The light is what makes manifest the works of darkness.
Amen.
For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. If you're not making the works of darkness, if you're not manifesting those things in order to reprove them, you're not being light. That means that all the happy, clappy people who never say anything that's negative and never point out something that's bad, they are darkness. You see, in the mind of man and in the flesh, what man thinks is right is actually the opposite. Man is stuck in darkness. And it's only when you make manifest that you are a light. And that, folks, I'm telling you, most Christians today that I've ever met think that the way to be light is to always be walking around smiling and happy and telling everybody how wonderful they are. And I'm being a light. And then and they walk up to somebody who is a rebellious, nasty, wicked, blaspheming, lost sinner who needs to hear the gospel. And that starts by confronting them with the fact that Christ died for our
sins.
You start by taking that person to the cross and making them understand they're not fine the way they are.
Amen.
They're lost.
Amen.
They're not good the way they are. They've sinned.
Amen.
That's how you are a light.
Amen.
And so if you're just walking around happy, clappy, smiling all the time, you are happily sending people to hell.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
And that's the ministry that most preachers follow today.
Right. Yeah.
They are Pied Pipers sending people to hell. And if you won't reprove, then you can't be a light. You're watching a preacher, you're reading books, you're hanging out with other Christians, or you yourself looking in the mirror. If you're not reproving the darkness, you're not a light.
Amen.
Stop fooling yourself. You're darkness. And so God says you can be a light. See, there's you can be a light. Let's get positive. Yay! I got good news for you today. You can be a light. How? Grow a spine.
Amen.
Have some guts. Love people enough to tell them the truth.
Amen.
You don't have to be mean about it. You can smile while you're saying it. Notice I never said there was anything wrong with smiling. I'm saying you smile and say, you know what? I love you enough to tell you you're going to hell. No, that's not really the way you should say it. But you can look at them and smile and say, you know, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings or anything, but the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes me. That includes when you talk to people, don't walk up to them as though you're something. You know, you can be one of me too. You can join this club and look what you can be. That's not, no. What you do is you walk up to people and say, you know what? You and I got something in common. We're both wicked. I'm not saying you're any worse than me. What I'm saying is you just won't recognize the reality that you're as bad off as the rest of the human race. We're all in humanity lost. We're all sinners. What do we need? Saved.
Amen.
We need saved. The only difference between you and me is I've decided I need saved. I'm willing to repent toward God, moving away from my pride and moving away from what I am, not running around boasting, saying, I am wonderful. I am, people like me. No, I am not that wonderful in my own nature. I'm wicked. I do bad things, deeds. All the funny mentalists out there who don't have the spine to preach, repent of your sins.
Amen.
You need to repent. That means everything. What you are, what you do, and what you believe. Whatever you think was going to get you to heaven, if it wasn't the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection, you were believing in the wrong thing.
Amen.
You repent of it all, turn to God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus died and paid for your sins. When He died on the cross, He shed His blood and paid for your sins, all of them. And He was buried, and He conquered sin and death on the after 3 days. There's nothing wrong saying on the third day, because it was still not totally four days gone. He rose from the dead. It wasn't just to put on a neat trick. It was to say, I, Jesus Christ, am God, and I am not only your creator, I am the judge, and I have the power over life and death. Jesus preached and said, I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus said that, and then he went to the cross and died and rose from the dead and proved it.
Amen.
Talk is cheap. Jesus put the talk to test, and he proved he's God. And he rose from the dead. And then right before he ascended, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So it just never ends. The goodness of God to those who will repent toward Him never ends. What's it say? For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. We sing, those of you who are here during the music service, we sang a new song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now, as a kid, they didn't make us hold our finger up. I was like, I want a real candle with fire. And they would never give me one.
Wonder why.
But you think of that. A lot of kids didn't think anything of it. And that's how a lot of Christians are. They're walking around without any real fire. And they're oblivious to the fact they just got a finger in the air. And they're not really lighting anything. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Do we really let it shine? Too many Christians have their lights dimmed, if not totally out. And it's because they're not willing to reprove. That's it. That's why their light won't shine. Read verse 14 with me. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. That's the verse that produced the joke where the preacher looks at the crowd and says, I got good news. When the rapture takes place, we get to go first, because the Bible says the dead in Christ rise first. He's calling on dead Christians to awake. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. That's how you know if you're really living for the Lord. If you've got any fire in you and you're willing to reprove the works of darkness, you've got light in you, and it's